How do I follow that? I wonder if I'm sure I had that much passion when I still have lots of passion. I teach here at the university and I'm a professor, but my response is incredibly practical and down to earth, which is kind of who I am anyways, even if I'm a professor. I think that our only choice to live good lives is to engage in this process, to engage in a process of change and imagination and connection with nature, connection with children, which is where my heart often lands, and a focus on the positive rather than the negative. I've spent most of my life being an activist, and my dad called me a commie pinko when I was 11, so I started young as well. And it's defined who I am and how I live and how I've raised my children and how I teach. And I really think it's the only way to live and be honest with yourself and be a part of life rather than disconnected from it. Because I agree with Maria that the structure that we have and the culture that we have works very hard to keep us disconnected from each other and disconnected from the world, because that's how power is maintained. I would also say that I don't think power brings any great, wonderful stuff with it. It might keep you safer. It might mean that you don't have to worry about things that other people have to worry about, but I'm not sure that it makes you a happy person, or a fulfilled person, or even a whole person. So I think that one of the things that we don't talk about enough is how those who have privilege also would benefit from change, would benefit from a different world and a different way of living. And I don't know how much joy an SUV can really bring to your life. That may be because I don't have an SUV, but I just don't get it. But I also think that imagination, as Maria said, is central to change and building a diverse but even loosely united movement. And I agree that, you know, trying to put it all under one umbrella is not going to work. But connection and relationship is. Getting to know people, getting to know who they are and how they live, I think is central to the work that we do. And again, back to imagination. I worked in a lot of alternative in quotation marks, I don't know what other word to use, organizations. And I think some of them crumbled. And some of them crumbled because of a lack of faith and patience and imagination. And understanding that we're doing something totally new, that other people haven't really, that they've done before but done in different ways. But if we're going to try something totally new, as Maria says, it's going to feel weird and different and difficult. And that's okay. That of course it's going to be weird and different and difficult. And the number of consensus-based meetings that I sat in for 8 to 12 hours while people got more and more frustrated. People revert to hierarchy because that's what they know. And it's easy and everybody knows the rules. And so when people get frustrated, they revert to what they know. But to do something very different, to work on it with a consensus model, for example, means that you have to give yourself time and be kind and gentle with each other. And we're not good at that. We're not good at being kind and gentle with each other. And I think that's one of the things, and I come mostly from working in the women's movement, is that we're raised as women to think about being kind and gentle. I'm not sure how many of us are very good at it. Some of us not very good at all. But that idea and also the focus on relationships, I think, can bring a lot to a united movement. And really, all you have are the other people in your life when it comes right down to it. And so those relationships, and not your SUV, are what, I don't know why I'm picking an SUV, but, are what sustain you and what make you you. And that's what I would recommend, that the centrality of relationships is what will build a diverse and united movement in whatever way you think of united. And that those difficult conversations, and I wanna emphasize again that I think those difficult conversations, yes, they're difficult, but they're also wonderful. How many of you have had like amazing conversations about really difficult issues with really frustrating people? And that those are the conversations that I think change your thinking and change who you are. Even if you're yelling at the person across from you, you walk away and you think about what they've said to you. And so those conversations, I think we need to remember the joy in all those difficult things. And I'm glad you said something about saying anti, and we do use that a lot, like the whole anti-oppression. And I teach about oppression and anti-oppression. That's a treat. You can see the resistance in people to having the way that they see the world, the way they view the world, having that challenged, and how difficult it is for people. So I think compassion, which is something else that Maria said, compassion is really important. And Naz talked about how connected we all are, but how difficult it is for us to make those connections and to not be sucked in by the power relationships that we're taught and that are established outside of us and that impact our lives every day. I mean, there are dangers to working, to being an activist, and I think sustaining your joy and your faith and your happiness in the light of those is part of our individual challenge and also challenge as a group.